Number 6, Galatians chapter number 6, and we'll look at just one verse in just a moment or two. Galatians chapter number 6. Psalm 53 says this, "My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord, in the morning while I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up." Over the past several weeks, we've been looking at this thought of looking up. And so far, we talked about looking up with confidence. Then we talked about looking up in encouragement. And last week, we talked about looking up in rest. And today, we're going to consider another looking up, and that is simply this: looking up with determination. And when we think of determination, we think of this thought of that can-do attitude. As a matter of fact, Webster's defines determination as this: the act of deciding definitely and firmly, or a firm or fixed intention to achieve a desired end. Determination is very important characteristic in our life. It's what keeps us going when we rather just give up. Determination keeps us from quitting a very demanding job or giving up on a fragile marriage. Determination helps us to endure all of life's storms, battle enticing temptations that Satan brings into our life, helps us to persevere through those terrible tragedies and trials of our lifetime. None of us can get through this life without having at least a little bit of determination. And this is certainly true when it comes to the believers, those who have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Living your life for the Lord Jesus Christ requires that you have some determination in your life. Without determination, you'll be a failure for the Lord. Let me illustrate it to you this way. On November 25th, 1980, the second of three boxing matches between Sugar Ray Leonard and Robert Durant took place inside the Louisiana Superdome. In their first fight, it was held just 5 months prior to this fight in Montreal, Durant won by unanimous decision at the end of the 12 rounds. The second fight here in the Superdome was going to be highly anticipated, but it ended abruptly in the eighth round. Durant simply turned his back to the referee, waved his gloves up in the air, and said, "No mas, no mas, no mas." He was saying, "No more, no more, no more." In other words, he was saying, "I quit, I quit, and I quit." He simply decided to quit and give up in the middle of the fight. The boxing world was absolutely amazed. What is more amazing to me today is that many people have resigned from serving God. They have thrown in the towel, so to speak. They are no longer in the race for the Lord Jesus Christ. They turned their back and effectively had said this: "No mas, no mas, no mas." Sunday school teachers and ministry workers have said, "No mas, no mas, no mas," effectively giving up. A couple of months ago, Pastor James trained 22 people in evangelism to reach the lost people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the majority of those that he trained effectively have held up their hands and said, "No mas, no mas, no mas." Effectively saying, "I give up, it's not for me." It takes determination to serve the Lord. You can look around the auditorium this morning and see the few scant people we have here at Charing Baptist Church. It's because too many have said, "No mas, no mas, no mas." They lack the determination that can only come by a faithful and fruitful time with the Lord Jesus Christ each and every day of their life. Today, we need folks, instead of resigning, we need them to re-sign with the Lord Jesus Christ. And the work that we're doing here, some of the most important work in all the world, it trumps the work that you do at your place of employment. And I know what you're thinking. Well, if I didn't work there, then I wouldn't have money to come here to do this work. Listen, there's a balance somewhere ought to be in your life. And there is no more important work done here at Charing Baptist Church than the work of reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do you effectively understand? That is why that at the moment after you get saved, God doesn't take you straight to heaven. You know why that is? Because there's work for us to do. And we throw up our hands and we say, no mas, no mas, no mas. And we don't have a determination to live for God. We don't have a determination to go on and do those things that God has called us to. And we want to say, no mas, I'm tired of it. I'm sick of it. I'm done. Let someone else do it. Let the younger do it. Let the older do it. No mas, no mas, no mas. And we turn our back on God and His church. Well, we ought to re-sign with the Lord Jesus Christ. There's too many important things that are left to be undone. The eternal souls of men and women and boys and girls hang in the balance. And yet you and I say, no mas, no mas, no mas. Let's stand as we read Galatians 6. Just one verse this morning in verse number 9 before we pray. The Bible says this, and we could go into the long exhortation in verses 1 through 8, but notice down in verse number 9, Paul said, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Father, I pray now your blessings upon the preaching of your word. Oh, Father, I pray that you'll be a help to this preacher as I preach from your word this morning. Oh, Father, I pray, as no doubt some that are sitting here today have cried out, no mas, no mas, no mas, and are ready to quit. Father, the truth of the matter is, at least he got into the ring. Some are sitting in the pew, and they had never even got into the ring. Oh, sure, they're saved and they're born again, but they're not really effectively a part of this ministry. And, oh, Father, we're thankful for what they give on Sundays, Father. That enables us to go out and win boys and girls and buy gas for the buses and print the things that we do. But, Father, effectively, they're sitting in the pews, really, crying out, no mas, no mas, no mas. Oh, Father, I pray for your people. Oh God, it's my heart's desire this morning that your people, Father, would pick the towel back up or get a towel, Father, whatever it takes. And oh God, they begin to get in a fight for Jesus Christ. Oh Father, challenge hearts. Father, speak to that one that could be here this morning that doesn't know Christ as their own personal Savior. Oh Father, may they be saved today. And Father, for the Christians that are here, that already, Father, anger is welling up inside of them. The hairs are standing up on the back of their head, and they're thinking in their and inside their mind right now, what do you want me to do? Just do whatever God would have you to do. Oh, God, I pray that they'll have understanding in this matter this morning. Oh, Father, we do love you. We pray for those who are sick and can't be here, those that have to work to feed their families, Father. I pray you bless them, be a help to them. Oh, God, we ask these things in your Son's precious name, I pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated this morning. This morning we're going to look up to the Lord in determination to serve Him and not to give up. I want you to notice a couple of things this morning. First of all, in this verse, notice that if we're going to look up to Him in determination, we're going to have to notice His strength is available. His strength is available. Notice the first part of that verse, and let us not be weary. How many have ever gotten tired and weary? Anybody here been tired and weary? Amen. I don't know about you. You wouldn't be a human being if there hasn't been some point in life where you haven't been tired and you haven't been weary. You know, it's bad enough to be in a rat race. We oftentimes say that. Man, we're in a rat race. But you know what? I think it's worse than that. Sometimes that seems like the rats are winning the race, amen. So it's bad enough to be in the rat race, but when the rats are winning, there's something definitely wrong with that. And we live in a society that the pace is moving so fast that weariness comes and tiredness comes, and we find that weariness oftentimes is not the exception, but it is the normal for our lives that we live in every day. Unfortunately, this also applies to our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, let us not be weary. So while most of us are weary, even in our physical work and everyday labors, the Bible says oftentimes that we should not be weary in our spiritual work. But as I look out across churchdom today, if you allow me to use that term, we find that too many Christians today are weary and they're tired, even in their spiritual work, and they throw their hands up and they say, no mas, no mas, no mas. reading our Bibles and praying and giving our tithes and offerings and being faithful to the service and even helping in the ministry of the church, we grow weary. And no wonder many people have said, no mas, no more, I give up. That word weary here in this context, it means to be weak. It means by implication to fail because we're weak and cannot carry out the task. It means to be utterly spiritless. And that doesn't mean you don't have the Holy Spirit of God living within you, because if you've been saved and born again, the Bible teaches us that he takes up residence inside of us. It just means there's no fight left in you. It means you're all played out, you're tired, and you're weak. And because you're weak and tired, that you're failing in whatever God would have you to do. The Apostle Paul wrote, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, notice these words. He said these words written by God very carefully, and says, let us not be weary. Let us not be weary. Let us not be discouraged. Let us not be despondent. And he said, let us not fail. Why? Because we look up to him for determination. How can this possibly be in the world that we live in? I'm going to give you three things how that it's possible to not be weary in this world. Notice, because there is a strength that is available. There is a strength that is available. In 2 Corinthians 12:9, we find these words. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, while I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Notice that there is a strength that is available. There's a strength to carry out every task in this life. And notice, it's not something that we have to work up. It's not something that we have to go to bed for 8 hours and eat right and get the proper nutrition. It says, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect. That word perfect comes from a Greek word, literally translates this way, to carry through to completion. So we find that Paul says there is a strength for every task that God has for you to do. And it carries you through all the way to completion. So how dare we can say, well, I don't have the strength to do it. I can't do it anymore. We throw our hands up. No mas, no mas, no mas. I can tell you implicitly from God's word, it says that we have strength for every task. But then notice something else. Not only do we have a strength for every task, we have a strength for every trial. Psalmist writes in Psalm 23 and verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, for thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. We have strength in every trial. And whether it be the shadow of death, or whether it just be a physical infirmity or financial reverse that comes into our life, or some emotional instability in our life, we can take God's word to the task, and it says there'll be strength for every trial that comes into our life. And here's our problem is, when the trials come, the temptations come, and the hard task comes, we don't turn to him. We try to look inside of ourselves and try to draw strength inside ourselves to carry out a task that God has asked us to do. And listen, you might get away with it for a while, but after a while, you're going to run out of power on your own. And you're going to throw your hands up. You're going to say, no mas, no mas, no mas. I can't take it anymore. I'm going to give up and quit. And God said we need to have determination in our life. We have to have strength for every trial, strength for every task. But then thirdly, we have strength for every day. I like Philippians 4:13 in the proper context. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Again, here we have this great small verse of Philippians 4:13 that teaches us that we don't have strength in ourselves. Our strength comes from him. It comes from the empowerment and endowment from the Holy Spirit of God. That is where we draw our strength from. We look to him for direction. We look to him for guidance. But our power comes from that Holy Spirit of God that lives and dwells within inside of us. I am so glad that I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Not only should we look up in determination because of the strength is available, but notice secondly, we should look up in determination because our service is expected. Our service is expected. Notice these words, back to our text. And let us not be weary, notice these next words, in well-doing. Do you ever think about this, well-doing or doing well? You know, God has called us to well-doing, not doing well. Most of us put our efforts into doing well, but that's not what God has called us to do. God has not called us to do well. He's called us into well-doing. And God is not impressed with our fine cars. He's not impressed with our nice homes, our nice boats and our campers and our trailers and everything else that we have in our house. He's not impressed with that. He's not even impressed with Sharon Baptist Church building. He's not impressed with the new carpet that got put down over in the day school. He's not impressed with that. No matter how good it is, he's not impressed with your budget. He's not impressed with the budget of Sharon Baptist Church. I want you to know what the Lord seems to be interested in the context of this passage of Scripture. Notice in verse number 1, we find in Galatians 6 and verse 1, we find that the Lord tells us that he's interested in well-doing, in restoring the fallen. Brethren, if any man be overtaken in fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such as one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. God is interested in us restoring the fallen. Now let me help you now before you get on a high horse here. There's a qualification for this verse. It says, brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault, or if we find another brother or sister that has fallen into some form of sin, notice the next word, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one. There's the qualification. A spiritual person, living, exuding the fruit of the Spirit in their life are the ones who will qualify as being someone who will restore someone. We sit in our pews and we're having a bad day and we're having a bad life and living a backslidden life, and we look out and we say, well, look at Sister Slapjaw over there gossiping again. Bless God, I'm going to go over there and I'm going to restore her, amen. Listen, you got the wrong idea. Maybe some restoration needs to take place in your own life first. Let it alone for someone who the Bible says, which are spiritual, restore such a one. Perhaps the deacon, perhaps the pastor, perhaps the community outreach pastor. I don't know, but if you have an attitude like that, let me help you. You're not the one that's to do the restoring, amen. You're not even the one to do the pointing out, amen. Let God do that. Well, we'll restore the fallen, but then notice in verse number 2, we find that God's interested in well-doing in verse 2. He says, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. I wrote down in my notes, sharing and bearing the burden of others. That is well-doing. God's not interested in doing well. He's interested in well-doing. And are you bearing the burdens of those that are here at Sharon Baptist Church? Are you sharing your burdens so that others could bear the burdens as well? I know how some of you are because I've been just like you before as well. A burden comes in my life and I'm bearing some kind of burden and I'm trying to be a brave trooper for the Lord. I'm bearing my burden. But you know what? No one else can bear my burden unless I'm willing to share that burden with someone. It's a two-fold coin. It has one side and the other side. One side is sharing, the other side is bearing. And listen, we can't bear your burdens with you if you're not willing to share them. And you say, well, I've been burned before. I shared my burdens, and they shared them with everybody else. Well, listen, if that happens, you come see me, and we'll take care of that. The truth of the matter is you have to learn to trust again. And you have to learn that if you're going to bear someone's burden, you're going to have to share burdens yourself. God calls us to well-doing, not doing well. Notice in verse number 6, we find something else God is interested in. And that's meeting the needs of God's servant. The Bible says, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. God is interested in how you care for the staff, the ministerial staff here at Sharon Baptist Church. He cares about how the Sharon Baptist Day School staff is taken care of. He cares about how those who perform other tasks as paid laborers here at Sharon Baptist Church. God cares about how we do that. But then notice in verse number 10, we find that God is interested in this, and that is ministering to others in verse 10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith. So not only should we share our burdens, not only should we restore the fallen, not only should we be meeting the needs of God's servant, but we ought to be ministering to those outside of our own Pacific family. Notice it says in that verse, and it says especially unto those who are the household of faith. You know, we get a lot of requests for people that need help, pay the electric bill, pay rent, need grocery money, need to pay a doctor bill. You know what? I simply ask them this. What church do you belong to? Well, I belong to so-and-so church. And sometimes I'd say, well, Galatians 6 and verse 10 says that we are to especially minister unto those who are the household of faith. Maybe you ought to go to your own church first and see if they'll be a blessing to you. And that's the way it ought to be. And oftentimes we forget about those people hurting within the confines of our own local New Testament church. Well, well-doing isn't just an activity, but it's doing something that is worthy. You know, we can be busy about all the wrong things, and so many times we get caught up on our day, and before we know it, the things that we needed to get done, we never got done because we got busy with some other things that kept us from doing what the Lord would have us to do. And as believers, we must constantly, consistently check our focus and make sure our focus is where God needs it to be. That's why it's a good thing to have a to-do list or a checklist or whatever you have so you can stay on track and do what God would have you to do. And thank God we're not saved by our works, but the lives of those who are saved according to the Bible are expected to be characterized by good works. In fact, the Lord said in Matthew 5 and verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good, what's the word? Works, and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So listen, you say, I'm letting my light shine for the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, how are you doing that? Because the Lord says your light's going to shine as you do what? Good works. So in my book, if you're not doing what the Lord said, if you're not doing good works, guess what? Your light's not shining so that all men might glorify your Father which is in heaven. You say, That's not right, Pastor Dave. Well, I'm just saying what the Lord said in Matthew 5 and verse 16, that our light will shine when we do good works, and those good works will bring honor and glory to God the Father up in heaven. So let me ask you, how's your light shining today? I mean, do you have one of them old 6-volt that we used to have in the Air Force? It was red and it was plastic, had a battery about, it was this big, and you turn it on, and as soon as you turn it on, immediately it would start getting duller and duller and duller. Maybe that's you today. Maybe you got one of them new LED lights that Gary has down in his garage. Man, it's great. You turn that thing on and it's bright as day one as it is day 20. But when the battery runs out, it just runs out. It doesn't dim down, it just boom, it cuts right off. Where are you today? Are you saying you're a shining light doing good works and your light's shining but it gets dimmer and dimmer and dimmer? Or maybe you're one that says, hey, Pastor Dave, I'm doing good works. I turned my LED light on and you're living for 30 days with the Lord Jesus Christ doing good works, but all of a sudden the light cuts off and you say, no mas, no mas, no mas. Maybe you're like one of those lights you get for free down at the tractor supply place or that tool place. I like them lights, they're free, but man, I had one the other day. My brother was trying to fix my dryer, and I said, I got a light. I turned it on, and it was flickering on and off, and it was on and off, finally just never came back on again. I don't know how your light is today, but I do know this, is that we're not saved by our good works, but our good works, we're supposed to have an expected end of good works in our life. And you say, I don't have time for good works. I don't have time to do things for the Lord. Well, you know what? I feel sorry for you because God says that's one way that I'm going to get honor and glory, and our purpose is to glorify the Father. Well, not only should we look up to him in determination because his strength is available and because our service is expected, but notice thirdly, and then we'll be done. We need to look up to him in determination because real success is anticipated. Real success is anticipated. Notice the Bible says, for in due season we shall reap. You know, I like doing projects when I relatively can think I'm going to have a good end to it, amen. Like, I'm going to hang up my Christmas lights. I know that, you know, it might be a little bit cold to do that, but I'm reasonably assured when I get to the end of the task and I plug them in, all of them are going to work. It's not like I'm doing a building project and I'm getting the nails and the hammer and wood, everything ready. I'm not so reasonably assured it's going to be a good outcome when I get done hammering, sawing, and nailing this thing together. But I like it when I can do something and have a reasonable assurance of success at the other side. Real success is anticipated because God says, for in due season we shall reap. You know, we live in a day and age where we look for instant gratification. We want what we want, and we want it now. You say, well, how's that, Pastor? Well, we live in the express lane of life. You say, well, what do you mean we live in the express lane of life? Let me tell you how we can know we live in the express lane of life. When you pull into McDonald's and there's two lines to get into for your car, I'm telling you, the drive-thru has two lines. That is an express lane of life when you have two lines at a drive-thru. We have microwave Popeyes. Last night, Donna wasn't feeling very well, and she makes a wonderful, sometimes homemade Popeye, but we had microwave Popeyes. Notice the microwave, the back of the direction I was making them for us, it says 5 to 7 minutes. I said, I like that, I'm pretty hungry. But in the oven, it takes 40 to 45 minutes. Now, why would you wait 40 or 45 minutes when you could be eating in about 5 to 7 minutes? And they're both just as good, amen. We live in the express lane of our life. We have instant potatoes now. You can have boiling water, throw in some milk and some butter, and you can be eating mashed taters in just a couple of minutes. And by the way, let me help you. If you ever have me over for dinner, I love instant mashed potatoes. They're wonderful. I think that, why bother cutting them up, boiling them, smashing them? Just make instant potatoes. We have stovetop stuffing. We have juice that's not from concentrated. I thought about this. When I was a boy growing up, my mama would have to get up in the morning. She'd get into the freezer and pull out a little can of frozen orange juice about this big. She put it into her little pitcher with some hot water. She'd start making pancake and eggs for us. And about the time the pancake and the eggs were done, she would dump out that hot water, open up that juice, squeeze it out, and take a knife and chop it up in that little thing, add in the proper amount of water, and stir and stir and chop and chop and stir and stir, and eventually we'd have orange juice. Thank God we don't have to do that. I never would drink orange juice if I had to go through all that. We live in the express lane of life. We have 45-minute pizza delivery. Thank God for that. If your wife comes home from work and doesn't feel like cooking, Domino's is just right down the road, or Papa John's or Pizza Hut. We have one-hour photo development. And if you can't wait 1 hour at Walmart, just print it off on your printer. You can have it in about 30 seconds or so. Cell phones and text messages and instant messenger, and that's just to name a few. But get this, my friends, God does not operate on our time schedule. We try to fit him in our time schedule, but he does not operate in our time schedule. As a matter of fact, time is really meaningless to the Lord. 2 Peter 3:8, the last part of that verse, the Bible says this, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. With God, all things are in season. Solomon said this in Ecclesiastes 3:1. To everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven. God promises a harvest, and we shall reap that harvest. But listen, what we decide today and do today will decide really what we reap. In Galatians 6, verses 7 and 8, the Bible says this, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall reap of the flesh corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. The laws of God's harvest are very simple. We'll reap what you sow. If you sow righteousness, you'll reap righteousness. If you sow unrighteousness, you'll reap unrighteousness. We'll reap more than we sow. And lastly, we'll reap after we sow. Real success will come because God promised it will come. God says if you'll reap, you will sow, and you'll sow more. It will just be later. Harvest time, my friend, is coming. Psalm 126, 5 and 6. But they that sow in tears reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth and bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Just yesterday, we had the opportunity to go out soul winning and door knocking and tracking on some doors. And Don and I were out together, and we finally found the place where we were going to be. And as soon as we got out there, we figured, man, it's a little colder out here than what we thought it was going to be. And it was a little windy and a little blowing and breezing, but you know what? We already were there. So I said, well, we're already here. Let's just go for it. We came across, a young man. He's younger than me, but probably middle-aged, so somewhere in his early 30s perhaps, and his name was Anthony. We got an opportunity to witness to Anthony, and Anthony said this. I said, Anthony, you know, really, it's not important what church you go to, although it kind of really is, since I'm a pastor of an independent Baptist church. And he laughed, and I said, it's more important to know that you have a relationship with Jesus Christ and where you spend eternity. He said, you know what, I'm saved, I am born again. A long time ago, I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And prior to that, I asked Anthony, I said, what church do you go to, Anthony? I said, do you go to a church, do you have a church home? And he said, yeah, I go to the church down there. And I'm thinking, oh, yeah, okay, now you're lying to a preacher. Now you're definitely going to go to hell. No, that's not true. But he said, you know, that church right down there, right down the road here. And I knew what church he was talking about. I said, Liberty Baptist. He said, yeah, that's the one. He said, to be truthful with you, I haven't gone in a long time. And he went on to tell me his story. You know what? And Anthony, he said, you know what? He said, I'm not going to promise you, but I'm going to do my very best to come visit your church. He said, I might even come this Sunday. So we went on the rest of our houses, came back. It was a good period of time. He must have been looking out his window because he saw us coming by, headed back to our car. Anthony came back out of his house again, and he said, I want to thank you for doing this. He said, you know what? I see the Jehovah Witnesses periodically coming around, knocking on doors, every door in this neighborhood. And I kept thinking to myself, where are the Christians at? Why don't the Christians come and tell them about their Savior? If Jehovah Witnesses and Mormons are willing to do that, why won't Christians do it? And I said, that's a good question. I said, why don't you come, and I'll answer that question when you come, amen. Anthony didn't make it today, but I do know this. I believe Anthony's looking up with determination. I believe one day we'll see Anthony come through those doors. And if not, we'll come through his doors, amen, on a visitation. I just remind him that we're still here, and we care enough for him. So look up with determination. Someone's here this morning needs to determine in their life they need to trust Christ as their Savior. They just need to break down that pride barrier. They need to come and say, okay, Pastor Dave, can someone take the Bible and show me how to be saved? That's someone here today. Someone needs to determine to be obedient to God in every area of your life. You're sitting there this morning and you're saying, yeah, I'm saved, I'm born again. I come to church once in a while and I give, you know, here and there. But you know what? You're not being obedient to God in every area of your life. You need to look up with determination. Before long, you're going to say, no mas, no mas, no mas. And you're going to give up and you're going to wonder what has happened to your life. Some need to look up with determination to come join with us here at this work at Sharon Baptist Church. You need to come unite with us and just get in and join in and quit making excuses and just say, okay, God, this is where I'm going to hang my hat. This is where I'm going to come and give my tithes, my offerings, my faith promise. This is where I'm going to come and do good works to bring you honor and glory. Sign up and become a member. Some of you need to determine here today just to re-sign with God and get busy serving with Him. Been a long time since you really got busy serving God. Listen, I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings, but coming to church Sunday morning is not doing anything for the Lord, amen. You're not working for Him. We're thankful that you come, but it's more than that. It's more than just coming Sunday mornings. It's more than even just coming Wednesdays and Sunday nights and Sunday school, and all those things are good. But listen, my friends, about letting our good works shine forth that others might give God honor and glory. Why don't you re-sign up with God and begin with determination to live for Him? Galatians 6:9, as we close. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint. Father, I pray your blessings be upon your people this morning. Oh, Father.